Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we are brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, the coolest new technology around, by RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes and on Babbittville.com. She is coming off a big win this weekend, February 20th. She went 4:04 at the Huskinson Long Course Race. Melissa Halsut joins us. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Bob.
I'm so excited to see you back healthy and racing again. Well, you won two half-distance races in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's such an amazing feeling being back racing. Training's one thing. It's cool, but I think we all do it to race. And, yeah, it's been such a long time since I've raced, so just so good to get back out there in the atmosphere and especially winning. It's a good feeling.
Well, and how long were you laid up?
My last race was March last year, Melbourne Ironman.
When you won 8:52 and won that race, Asia Pacific Championships.
Yeah, I was apparently injured before that, but I didn't know it until after it. And then, no more races until 2 weeks ago.
Wow. And what was the injury?
I broke a rib from coughing.
From coughing, but did that go back to the whole massage and all that type of stuff? Different gig?
Yeah, totally different. That was a rib as well, but that was on the front.
It was on
my back and all my fault. Just a chest infection.
Yeah.
And, apparently fractured the rib.
Oh, wow. And the one previously, you were getting ready to do Kona when that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, 3 days before 70.3 World Champs, actually. And that one, was a massage injury. He just slipped and, tore the pec and dislocated the rib.
Massage gone wrong.
I haven't had much luck with the rib.
And I know that, obviously you've won two Ironman 70.3 world titles and you were ready for last year's. How tough was it to not be able to really race there or in Kona?
It was really tough because I was just waiting for an answer with this rib. The doctors had kind of given up, said there was no cure for it, but I could still ride. I just couldn't run or swim, but I was doing all my running on the elliptical machine in the gym.
Yeah.
So I was staying fit and just waiting for an answer. And finally, 8 weeks out from Kona, this pain medicine specialist said that he could help me. He could kind of paralyze the nerve because I wasn't doing any damage training on it, but I just couldn't bear the pain.
Sure.
So, he did that 8 weeks out from Kona, said it would take 2 weeks to kick in, so I got on a plane, I think 3 days after I got the treatment, started building up, and I was fit because of all the elliptical training. I was biking better than ever and got back into it and, thought I was all ready for Kona. And then I fractured my sacrum because I just had no weight bearing for 6-plus months. So the bone density had decreased and then it was all over again.
And so then you're in Kona, not able to race, which is never fun. I mean, it's great when you know you're coming there for vacation, but it's not fun to go there when you're there. You know you're going to be there to race, and then you can't race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had everything booked. I knew it was going to be a fine line between, being on the podium there and not even being on the start line. I was really pushing it.
Right.
But, we had everything booked. I was staying positive that, I'd be there. And as soon as this happened, all I wanted to do was go home. And everyone was like, but it's well, why? You know, just go for a holiday. I'm like, I'm not there for a holiday. I'm there for one reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was tough, and especially doing that 2 years in a row. I've had to be there watching when I should have been racing. So, third time lucky this year, I'll be there.
Right. And when you watched it, could you watch it from a perspective of, you know, and as long as I'm here, I should take a look at this thing just to see how it plays out? Because it's different watching it on television than potentially being on the course and seeing what happens.
Yeah, 2 years ago, with the massage injury, I kind of got a lot from watching it. Yeah. That year, I was really going there to check it out. I didn't put, you know, a lot of pressure on myself that year. But last year, I was going there to win it. So it was right. Really tough to watch. I was out there everywhere on the course watching it and stuff. But, yeah, at times I was just like, I just want to go home.
Yeah, your heart wasn't into it. It's like, okay, I watched it last year. I pretty much learned everything I need to learn.
Yeah.
And now, yeah. So let's go back a little bit. Because one of the things that always intrigues me is people who come from your amazing steeplechase background. And I love the fact that last year when you won Melbourne, that Jeff Simons won, because he's a steeplechase guy too.
Yeah. It seems a lot of steeplechasers turn to triathlon rather than pure runners. I think, we must be a little bit tougher.
I think so. Jesse Thomas comes from steeple as well. There's definitely some cool ones out there. So growing up, when did you end up getting, a lot of times people end up in steeple because nobody else wants to do it because it's so brutal. When did you gravitate to the steeplechase?
I always did all running. I did track running and I did cross country.
Yep.
But it was when I was 14 at school, I just asked if I could jump in. It wasn't a race for the girls at that stage. And I just asked if I could jump in with the boys at school and they let me in. I think I beat all of them but one. And then, the very next year it came into girls. So yeah, I was really excited. I liked the challenge. It was something different. It kind of just broke up the distance running, and then I really excelled at it, so that became my main event. But I still went to a world cross country and did all the flat running as well.
Right.
But yeah, it was just something different and exciting.
So when you win the gold at the Goodwill Games 2001 in the steeple, at that point obviously you're thinking, oh, I guess I'm not just pretty good at this, I guess I'm really good at this. Was that the main focus at that point? Because then you go and you get a silver at the Commonwealth Games in 2006. So was that the focus for were you trying to get to the Olympics in 2004 as steeple?
Well, it didn't come into the Olympics until 2008.
Oh, that's right, 4 years after. Oh.
Yeah. In 2001, it was actually really hard to get into the Goodwill Games because there was just no races in Australia, and there was nobody, no girls doing steeple, and I had to hit a qualifying time to get in the race, and I knew I could run the time, but it had to be an official race, which means three girls start
right. And
at least two finish.
Yeah.
So I was, like, trying to get all these people to do the race with me, and one race I mixed it with the boys, and I got the qualifying time, but no, that wasn't allowed because there was a boy in the race, and I beat the boy, so, like, it didn't matter. So then, I wrote in a few of my friends that weren't even runners, and I just said, you've got to finish, though. I don't care if you walk. You've got to finish.
So you're becoming an event director, too.
Yeah, well, that was the only way I could get in, and, they finally let me start, and then I won. So then after that, a few more girls took some interest in steeplechase, and they put on a few more races, and, 2008 was the first Olympics.
So the fact that you won the steeple, you got the silver in steeple in 2006, did you think about, the Olympics is 2 years away, let's go for it?
Yeah, definitely. I had a bit of a hard time from 2004 to 2006 with a coach, and I was injured a lot. And, I finally got back in December 2005, started training. Second Com Games 2006, and I was like, yes, this is awesome.
Yeah.
2 years to the Olympics, plenty of time to get fit. But then broke down
Injuries. Again
mid-2006, and just couldn't get right back up there. That's when I decided to buy a road bike and start riding just to keep fit and keep myself sane. And
so
ended up switching sports.
Yeah, you end up switching sports. So you go from steeple to triathlon. What was your first triathlon?
I did Gold Coast Half Ironman 2010.
Well, that was your first. Now you didn't move sprint distance, Olympic distance. You jumped right into 70.3.
Yeah, well, I did an Olympic distance race the weekend before just to get a feel for putting it together and getting through the transitions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just down the road from me. And then, Gold Coast Half Ironman the next weekend.
How'd you do?
I won it.
That's what I love about you, Mal. It's like, I'm just going to go try this thing, and I'm going to kick everybody's ass and win it. And then in 2011, you win gold at Ironman 70.3. You do that again in 2013. 2013, ITU Long Distance Worlds, gold. Did it feel like it came easy to you, or was it one of those things that, it looks easy to you from the outside, but I was working really, really hard?
Yeah, coming from running 3K to doing, four and a half hour races, mentally it was hard. And it probably looked easy on the outside, and it was a lot slower pace than I was used to running and training at. But mentally, just keeping it together for that long when I'm used to, my race was 9 minutes, and it was only really the last 100 meters that really hurt you.
Right.
So it was tough. And after Gold Coast Half Ironman, I actually said, I'm like, that's it, I'm never doing that again. And everyone was, had high hopes for me, and they'd planned all these races for me. And I'm saying to my husband, I'm like, what do I tell him? I don't want to do that again.
And what did he say? What did your husband say?
And he said, we just keep cross training a bit and running. And I really thought I was just going to get back to running. It was just going to be a one-off. I've done a half Ironman. I've ticked that box.
Yeah.
But, I just couldn't quite get back into all the intense running on the track. And so I was just doing longer, slower stuff. And then Phuket rolled around in December, and so I'll just give it a go. I'll do another one. And got second there to Caroline Stephan. So I thought, maybe I can do this.
Yeah. And I think you've won that, how many times you won that race now? Four times?
I have five.
Five now. Yeah. Now you got five. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what was it about the sport of triathlon that was so good? Obviously, you had a running background, but it seemed like you adapted to the bike really quickly.
Yeah, I loved the bike. I actually started riding late 2009. I just bought a road bike and was riding around the roads and everything, and ran into a few other cyclists, and I said, can I tag along? And there I am in my running gear, and they're like, this girl's not going to keep up, and I'm like, where are you going? And they're like, we're going to Ipswich. It's a 100K ride. You sure you want to come? I'm like, I haven't been there before. And so I tagged along and kept up the whole way. And then they convinced me to join a cycling club that they were a part of. And I did that and just absolutely loved it. And nobody talked about running, but nobody knew my background. And because I was injured at the time, and I just didn't want to talk about running. And it was just another outlet, I guess. And just really enjoyed it. So I think that's why I thought, triathlon could be a winner. I love riding. I love running. I just got to learn how to swim.
How hard was it to learn, especially for someone who is, you were a runner. You knew how to run. Cycling came fairly easily, it seems like. But swimming is such a technique thing for people who didn't really swim as a kid. It's really hard to learn.
It is. And I've been through a lot of coaches, and they kind of just give up. It's kind of like, you're too old to teach.
You're set in your ways.
You've got to learn this at a young age. So I still now, I swim purely on fitness, I think. With all the injuries I've had, I've been out of the water for a couple of months at a time and come back, and I'm swimming the same times.
Isn't that funny? You're like, wait a second.
Why am I wasting all this effort in the water?
Why tire myself out training when I can just, and potentially adding upper body weight that I don't need when I'm, I'm going to swim between 105 and 108 no matter what I do?
Yeah. Well, I tried doing the 30 kilometers a week. I tried doing the 10 kilometers a week. I tried doing no swimming.
Yeah.
And, I get in the pool and I'd swim exactly the same. And, some races I'd swim better than others. Maybe I you know, took a better line and didn't do it as much. And people go, oh, what are you doing in the swim train? You've really improved. And, yeah, nothing. Nothing changed.
Talk a little bit about when people think steeple, they think the pit and they think the carnage that we see at the pit. What were some of the wildest things you saw at the water jump?
I've been on the front page of the paper before because I've taken a dive in there.
Really?
I was actually lucky. A girl that was the national champs, and she'd kind of jumped in the semi shallow bit, and so I couldn't jump over her head, so I kind of had to land in the deepest part. And the tartan only goes so far down, and then it's concrete.
Right.
So you hit that concrete, and you slip. And
yeah,
I went under, and there's photos of me crawling out, and front page of the paper the next day, and somebody asked me, oh, what sport is that? Is that surf lifesaving or swimming? Or it's actually just running.
It's running, but when you jump in the
not
pit and you fall
that.
Down, there's people behind you wearing spikes who jump on top of you. And that's always fun. I love that.
Yeah.
So how was...
everyone always sits at the water jump waiting for the crashes.
Oh, everybody lines up there. They should charge admission and put little bleachers right there. That's all people want to see.
That's where the photographers are.
So talk about the Ironman Melbourne experience. You know, you win there, the first Aussie woman to win that Asia-Pacific Championship, 8:52. And I know, you know, there was a struggle, right, towards the end of that race.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
I was prepared, I was fit, I was ready, but I got these deep blood blisters, like bone bruising on the bottom of my feet, and at 30K, I just thought, that's it, I cannot take another step. This is like just a knife being jabbed into my foot, and so that was the biggest mental battle, just trying to get through. And I think what got me through is I'd got so far, and if I didn't finish, I had to do another one.
Right.
So I just had to keep going. But, that was tough. But other than that, I swam really well. I biked well, and I was running well until the blisters. And I still felt good running other than the pain in my foot. So, I was really excited with that. And it was only March, so I had so long till Kona. I thought I had the world at my feet. I had plenty of time to figure out what was causing that blister and how to fix that and to be ready in October. But, I didn't run after that until nearly Kona. Yeah.
You know, and I think that Kona race really suits you just because it is it's a tough person race. It's a steeple person race, right? It's hot. It's windy. The conditions can be, can be extreme. But you seem like the type of person who sort of appreciates that.
Yeah, I much prefer hot and humid. Coming from Queensland, it's really hot and humid. When it's too cold, I kind of seize up and I don't go anywhere. So, that really suits me. And, the tougher the conditions, I think, the better for me. And I guess I'm really strong in the bike at the moment. So, the windier, the hillier, being light works for me. So, I just... can't wait to get there and have a go at it.
All the rest of us too. I've been wanting to see that matchup with you. When you look at, Marinda Carfrae, who you've raced before, and Daniela Reif, the women's field, and Caroline Stephan is still there, and Jody Swallow. And the women's field is probably deeper than it's ever been. When you look at the race, when you look at Kona and the way it plays out, do you think about the other folks, or you just think, I just got to get there healthy, and then let's see how it plays out?
I guess you look at your competition a little bit, but I think with an Ironman, it is mainly about you. And for me, especially getting to the start line, if I can get there, I know I'll have a pretty good race. You really got to stick to your own plan in an Ironman. You can't be following someone else's plan or you'll blow up halfway through. I just think about what I'm doing. And I'm actually up in the mountains at the moment with just my husband to try and, get away from everyone for a little bit. Noosa, where we live, it's full of triathletes at the moment.
I know.
I don't really want to know what they're up to.
Yeah, everybody's there, right? You'd rather be by yourself.
Sometimes I just need a refresher and get away and just focus on what I'm doing and not hear about what they're doing or see what they're doing. And yeah, because I think Ironman is all about you.
Exactly. Best race you've ever had? It doesn't have to be a triathlon. Which one? Or maybe the one that means the most to you. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a win. Sometimes for some people, the race that meant the most to them was one where they sort of proved something to themselves and maybe they didn't win.
I think one of my best races in running was coming 11th at the World Cross Country. And a lot of people go, oh, you're a much better triathlon athlete than, you know, a runner. You only came 11th. But people forget in running that, you know, you've got all the Kenyans, the Ethiopians, the Eritreans.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're allowed to take six from each country.
Right.
So I was the first white girl home there and beat a lot of Kenyans, Ethiopians. And so, yeah, I was really happy with that race. And in triathlon, I think maybe my second 70.3 world title. I think the first one, it did come a little bit easier. Nobody knew me still.
Right.
There was no pressure on me. I could just, you know, fly under the radar, didn't have any commitments before it and, you know, come through with the win. But I think backing it up is tough. Everybody's looking at you and I failed the next year. I got sick, you know, just before the race. And, you know, that was probably a bit due to the stress and the pressure that I'd put on myself. So coming out in 2013 and winning it again, I was pretty excited about that one.
Now, where, was 2013 Vegas still?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough course.
Yeah. Again, I think it suits me. It's
hot, windy,
hilly, and hot, and all of that.
You just like that? You're like, bring it on. Get me this hard stuff. I like that. Now, were you planning to do two long distance races in February? Or with the second one was sort of like, oh, well, you know, I had a good race 2 weeks ago. Maybe I'll race again.
I wasn't planning to race this weekend. Just gone. But I'm racing Ironman South Africa in April, and this is the only close race between Geelong and South Africa, and I didn't want to travel. I wanted to, you know, get in a good training block, but so many things went wrong in Geelong. Other than crossing the finish line first.
I was going to say.
Errors I made.
Wait, you set a new course record, right? Yeah. And you won.
Yeah.
So what went wrong?
That was good.
But everything else went wrong. That was good. Yeah. Usually when stuff goes wrong, it's your third, your fourth, your 20th, whatever. You won, you set a new course record. What went wrong?
Yeah. Well, on the run, that was what was keeping me going. I said, everything has gone wrong. I have to win. I have to bring this back up and make some positive out of this. But I wasn't happy with my swim. I really took a beating and I just wasn't aggressive enough. I kind of just took a few hits to the face and let everyone go and backed off. And I should have just given a bit back and kept going.
Exactly.
I wasn't happy with that. And then I got to the bike and I had no power. I'm not sure what I did there. I stuffed up my Garmin, and because I haven't raced for a year, I really needed that power. I didn't know what I was doing out there.
Sure.
So I was annoyed with that, and then I cramped the entire bike. the medial side of my quad, I think I put my cleats on. That I have different race shoes to training shoes.
Sure.
So I think my cleats are a little bit twisted, and so I cramped the entire bike. I got to the run and I thought, you know, the cramp's going to go away now. Everything's going to be good. I had no splits for the run. Again, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't raced this so long. But I need these splits. And then the cramp continued the entire run and I actually had to stop a couple of times and massage it. It was just stabbing me. And then by 8K on the run, I blew up.
Oh, my God.
I haven't run enough. I've only been jogging and... by 8K, I was cooked and just thought, how am I going to get through this? And, just everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So that was my motivation to get to the finish line first, to try and turn it around a bit.
When things go bad and you still win, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess that was a good thing. But I did look back and go, I got to fix a lot of things. But, you know, if all that happens at the world champs, I'm not winning.
No. And so will this year be, will you do both 70.3 Worlds and Kona?
Yeah. Yep.
That's the plan.
70.3 Worlds are in my backyard, so I have to.
Oh, that's right. It's right. It's in Australia this year. Yeah, you have to go there. That's sweet.
Yep.
And will you do a training block over in Kona then, or will you stay home and train?
No, after South Africa, I'll wait until it gets warm enough in Boulder, and then I'll head over there for a little bit, do some races over there, and then, come home for 70.3 World Champs, and then stay home until Kona. So I think it's 5 weeks between, so maybe go to Kona a couple of weeks out.
Love it.
Well, so, not as much travel this year.
That's good. That is always good. Well, hopefully we will see you at the starting line at in Kona, because I think that's a race that you certainly can win.
Yeah, I hope so.
I would love it. Melissa, thanks as always for taking time. I love chatting with you. I think you bring a lot to our sport, and I having you at the starting line in Kona is going to make that race just so much better.
Yeah, I hope to be there. If I'm not on the starting line, I'm going home this time.
You're not hanging
out. I'm not watching it again.
You don't need to watch it again.
I've done my watching duty.
Melissa Halschut has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep Challenged Athletes' Game of Life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.